evening for WRCO News. I'm Joanne Krulotz. A Richland County resident was arrested for possession of child pornography this morning. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assigned a cyber tip as an affiliated member of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for the reported possession. This morning around 8:45, deputies completed a search warrant as a result. Deputies took into custody Scott Warren File, 28, of Sextonville, for 10 counts of possession of child pornography and one count of felony bail jumping. Scott File currently has a diversion agreement through Richland County for similar reported acts in 2021. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assisted in this investigation by Wisconsin ICAC Task Force, Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation, Digital Evidence Unit, Richland Center Police Department, and Lone Rock EMS. During Tuesday night's meeting, the Baraboo City Council discussed closing the city pool, cuts to the city's shared ride taxi service, as well as increased event permit fees and parking fines, among other cost-saving measures. Mayor Rob Nelson said the council will have to make some tough cost-cutting decisions in the coming weeks.
They are all trying to do the best job that they can with limited resources. Nobody wants to impose cuts that are going to be hurtful to portions of our population. Everybody's trying to do what they can to maintain the vitality and the health of the Baraboo community. And, you know, it's not an easy job.
Nelson said many of the economic challenges Baraboo is facing are structural and built into the state's funding formula for municipalities.
Until the legislature gives us some additional tools in our toolbox to try to raise revenue and pay our bills, we're going to always be looking for ways we can cut things. And so the items that we would be looking at for 2025 are basically the start, because the picture doesn't really look any better in 2026 or beyond. And so then you're going to have to look at additional things to be cut.
A majority of residents said no to a city operational referendum, which would have meant a $2 million tax levy increase to maintain the city's current services. Wisconsin healthcare providers say they've had to ration IV fluids due to damage caused by Hurricane Helene weeks ago. According to health officials, a number of hospitals used IV fluids that were manufactured in a North Carolina plant that suffered severe damage in the storm. Lyle Cradwell is the director of Emergency Preparedness Program at the Richland Hospital.
There's a big plant in Marion, North Carolina, and Baxter Health owns that plant. And it's absolutely an enormous plant. So that plant in particular produces 1.5 million bags of IV solutions per day. And Baxter itself accounts for about 60% of the IV fluids produced in the United States. So when Hurricane Helene came through, the storm surge really affected that plant in particular. And we looked at images of the plant itself, and you can see just mud and debris, and their loading docks underwater. They also have a river that runs by this particular plant. And there's one bridge that was used to get trucks in and out of that site. And of course, that bridge was washed out. So, you know, obviously, that's a huge shortage for the nation when we lose that kind of volume of IV solutions in short order.
IV solutions are used for a number of reasons. Cradwell says he believes every hospital across the country has been affected. Without reliable access to the IV fluids, hospitals have started to manage their supplies more closely and in some cases consider whether a patient really does need IV fluids.
What we did when we heard of this impending shortage coming is we stood up what we call our hospital incident command structure. And really what that is just a way to kind of communicate across the organization and start to deal with the situation at hand. So we brought a group of leaders together. So everything from physician leaders throughout the different departments in the hospital, nurse directors, our pharmacy director, Dave Kepler, was heavily involved. But we just started to talk about, you know, what conservation measures we had to put in place. And so we use these conservation measures to kind of give us a little bit more time so that the plant could get back up and running again. So the other things that we had done, we looked at those conservation measures and how effective they were. So we wanted to be able to track our inventory and our usage of those IV fluids throughout the organization too. So, you know, you probably heard in the news, larger facilities, some in Minneapolis, for example, started to cancel what they call elective procedures. And we were able to kind of get away without doing that. We made some modifications in our surgery department to just lessen the amount of fluid that we're giving to folks. You know, we also talked a lot about patients that could take oral intake, so they could drink by themselves, to use oral hydration as kind of a primary method instead of IV hydration.
So far, hospital systems have managed to keep up with patient needs with less supply, and patients have not been adversely affected. Lyle Cradwell said the Richland Hospital is always planning ahead to mitigate situations that may arise. 62 units of blood were collected at the Muscadet Community Blood Drive yesterday, including 11 double red cell donations. Registration volunteers were Jackie Schmadick, Asher Frazier, and Kate Frazier. Charlene, Janice, Marcia, Sandra, and Asher served refreshments and provided homemade baked goods. The next Muscadet Community Blood Drive is Tuesday, January 14th, from 11:30 to 5:30. The November Kickapoo Food Pantry will be open as usual this Saturday from 9 to 11 and Monday from 4 to 6. Holiday food boxes will be given out. Please note, however, that due to the holidays, December dates for the pantry have been changed to Saturday, December 14th and Monday, December 16th. Sign up inside the Viola Municipal Building and volunteers will load your vehicle. A Christmastime tradition returns to Wisconsin. The Canadian Pacific Railroad's holiday train raises awareness and funds to combat hunger. Its travel will begin in Sturtevant in Caledonia on December 7th. From there, five stops happen between Wauwatosa and Columbus on the 8th, and the statewide route concludes with six more stops between Portage and La Crosse on the 9th. Get more information from the homepage at cpkcr.com. The U.S. Postal Service has announced its recommended mailing and shipping dates for holiday mail and packages. Recommended send-by dates for expected delivery before December 25th are for items sent to addresses in the contiguous United States, USPS Ground Advantage Service and First Class Mail Service, December 18th, Priority Mail Service, December 19th, and Priority Mail Express Service, December 21st. For items sent to addresses in Alaska and Hawaii, USPS Ground Advantage Service is December 16th, First Class Mail Service, December 18th, Priority Mail Service, December 19th, and Priority Mail Express Service, December 20th. For customers sending packages internationally or to military addresses, USPS suggests checking the complete list of recommended holiday mailing and shipping dates at usps.com/holiday-shipping-dates. For tips on preparing shipments, including packaging guidelines, ordering free shipping supplies, and information on local post office location hours, visit usps.com. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection invites Wisconsin farmers and cooperating entities to apply for commercial nitrogen optimization pilot program research grants through January 17th. These grants aim to enhance the understanding of and refine new methods that optimize commercial nitrogen applied to agricultural fields. Eligible applicants must be an agricultural producer or be working with one or more agricultural producers, agree to collaborate with the Universities of Wisconsin on their project, and voluntarily conduct commercial nitrogen optimization field studies for a minimum of 2 years. Pre-approval of the research design must be obtained from UW by December 20th and is required for submitting the final grant application. The grant application, request for proposals, and other application materials are now available on DATCAP's website. Today's winner in the Ithaca Football Boosters calendar raffle is Jesse Stellner.